Blog Talk Radio.
To the New Day Show. I am the Queen of Empowered Soul, and I'm so excited to be spending this time with you this morning. I am broadcasting out of New Milford, Connecticut, where we are experiencing a beautiful rainy fall morning. And the leaves are still golden here in New England, so for those of you who have never been to New England before, make it a plan to be here next fall, because New England is in its golden spectacular season. So I am just so privileged to be experiencing another one of those glorious mornings. Well, today's show is going to be an amazing show. We have two great guests. Our first guest this morning is no stranger to Blog Talk. He is from the Blog Talk family. He's an expert in so many different areas. And of course, I'm mentioning about Mr. Willie Crawford. And Willie has been hanging out here with me, and I'm going to bring him on in a minute. But I just want to do a little housekeeping. And I just want to let you listeners know how much I so very much appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in, whether you're tuning in live or you're doing via on demand. I appreciate you very much. I want to encourage you to please mark the show as favorite so you can go back and listen, and you will be kept informed of who will be coming on when. But the other thing I want to mention this morning is to ask you guys to visit my blog, because I am an extremely proud auntie. My nephew, whose artist name is the Mighty Jing Tzu out of Jamaica, West Indies, he just released his first single last week. So visit my blog and listen to his music and encourage him and let him know you heard from Aunt Daphne's blog or show. So if he's listening this DT, I am just so very proud of you, and to listen to the lyrics of your words. They are indeed empowering words, and I want to encourage you, my darling, to just keep soaring like an eagle. You have only just begun. I know you have great things in front of you, and you know you have my total support. I want to also remind you to please visit my website, pick up a copy of my book, Conversation on Success, and, you know, keep supporting me, because I need your support. And without any further delay, I want to welcome my honored and extremely distinguished guest, Mr. Crawford. Good morning, and how are you?
Good morning, Daphne. I am doing great, and you just reminded me of what a small world it is, though, that my mother lives in Connecticut, and I was in Jamaica 2 months ago. Well, I was on a cruise.
Oh, my heavens. Isn't that something? The globe is getting smaller by the minute.
Yes, it is.
So I have to connect with your mom.
She's
so
in Norwalk.
So she and I can probably have... Oh, that's maybe about 30 minutes away from me, not far at all, because I'm up in New Milford.
It is a small world.
Small world indeed, Willie. And this is why we all need to keep doing the correct things, because, you know, we never know who knows who and who we will meet. So we all need to focus on doing the correct things, because we don't want anything to come back to haunt us.
Right.
Well, as I did my research, I noticed, beside that you're an expert on the web marketing and joint ventures and all of that, you also cook.
Yes, my grandmother raised me. My mother left the farm to go to the big city to work because the jobs were better there. So I stayed with my grandmother on the farm, and she was born in 1900. So by the time I was like 7 years old, she was already about 65, 66. And she didn't feel like she was getting old, and she thought she should teach her grandchildren to take care of themselves. So she taught us to cook and clean and sew and do all kinds of things.
What a legacy. What a legacy. I just wanted to put that out there, because not too many prominent men like yourself really knows how to handle themselves in the kitchen. So, you know, my eyes pop open, and the visitors, if you go on my blog, you'll see one of Willie's cookbook there and everything. So we're going to get into that later on. But let's get to the task at hand.
Okay.
We'll take a few minutes, Willie, and tell the people, who is Willie Crawford, and what was his humble beginnings like?
Well, Willie Crawford, I grew up on a farm in North Carolina, a tobacco farm, and from when I was maybe 7 until 18, I worked on the farm every summer and worked. And at 18, I went to college at North Carolina State University, where I drifted into the military. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and I ended up spending 20 years in the military. But I always wanted to start my own business, and that was what my college training was on. So in 1996, while I still had 6 years to go in the military, I started an internet business, and I was flying airplanes. So I could take the business with me wherever I went, because anywhere I went, I could connect to the early internet. And
mm-hmm.
by the time I retired in 2003, was earning six figures for my internet business, so I didn't need to go and look for another job. I just went full-time internet. And the interesting thing is, before I retired, in December of 2002, I was invited to speak at a seminar, and the reason I was invited to speak was that I was on a lot of online discussion forums talking about what was working for me in building a business, and I actually mentioned that I'd written a cookbook that was doing very well. And the seminar host invited me to speak because he wanted someone who was making money outside of the how-to-make-money niche. And so he invited me to speak, and that sort of hooked me on speaking. And 4 months later, I hosted my own seminar. I've hosted four since then, and that really propelled my career. But what happened at that seminar was a lot of the other speakers came up to me and said, we need to start working together. We need to start... creating products together, cross-promoting each other, and that was when the idea of joint ventures began to sink in. I discovered that it's much easier to grow a business working with other people who are also willing to help you than it is to try to do it all on your own. And prior to that seminar, I sort of viewed everybody in the world as my competition, all the other internet marketing businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought if my customers buy from them, they have no money left to buy from me. So I sort of, you know, was very protective of my customers. But at that seminar, when I saw how all the other speakers were willing to send me business, to jointly develop products, to recommend me, that just opened my eyes to the possibilities of working with other people and all of our businesses growing. And that hooked me and got me started on joint ventures.
Willie?
Yeah.
Will you repeat the last statement you said, because you had kind of cut out? I didn't hear you. And just to make sure the listeners heard you, the last statement you mentioned.
But it was at that seminar that I became hooked on joint ventures, that I became mm-hmm. aware of the fact that when you work with other people, that you grow the pie bigger, and there's just mm-hmm. more for everyone involved. And so
exactly.
it's just so much more leverage, and you can do things that you could never do working alone. And that's when I became really hooked on joint ventures, or aware of the power of joint ventures.
You know, I'm glad, really, that the opening statement is what you said. Entrepreneurs and small business owners are extremely selfish people, and it's because they view everyone else in the world as their competition. And my take on that, Willie, is because each of us are created authentically unique, there's no competition. Because I see collaboration as a delicious salad or a beautiful bouquet. And neither of those things has one ingredient in it. So each of us bring our distinct personality into collaboration, which enhances our business. So, listeners, if you learn nothing else from our conversation this morning, take it away that you don't need to be alone and nobody else out there is competing with you. They are enhancing what you do.
Yes.
And Willie, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what I eventually did was I developed more of an abundance mindset. Before, it was a scarcity mindset. I thought there's not a limited amount of wealth and customers and resources in the world. And now I've come to believe that that is unlimited wealth and resources in the world. And so we don't need to worry about getting our share, because it's there if you just reach out and accept it.
Exactly, because there's no scarcity in God's kingdom. And I'm not here preaching to anybody, but we go around and we complain about scarcity and lack, and there's so much out there if we would use our creativity and if we would just stretch forth our hands and just grab what's ours. But too often people complain about the neighbor and what the neighbor is doing and what the person in the next cubicle is doing, instead of, you know, doing a self-analysis and see, what else can I do? Where are some creative talents that I have laid dormant, you know? And I hope after this show that people will understand the importance of collaboration and joint venture. So with that being said, Willie, now I see why you are the guru and the expert in the things that you have been doing, because you have paid your dues over the years. So you have perfected your craft, and I want to thank you for making all this great information available to the rest of us newbies.
Yes, as I was growing up in my community, my grandmother was always pointing out to me that there are always people around you that actually do things to hold you back, almost out of jealousy. And I see that online too, yet I see a lot of people who are mm-hmm. perfectly willing to work with you if you're willing to reciprocate. And that's a big mm-hmm. part of what joint ventures are about. It's about thinking of how you can help the other person to progress too, because if you help other people, then they're perfectly happy to help you back. It's just that when you're so focused on how you can get the most out of the deal that it's difficult mm-hmm. to set up joint ventures. It's about thinking, how can I help the other person, and actually putting the other person's interest first, and that I found that to be extremely effective.
And Willie, isn't that what adding value is all about? Because you know what I have noticed in the number of years that I've been doing networking and all of that? Too many people focus on pushing cards instead of understanding what the other person need and see how you can add value to that person. And this is what I think joint ventures is all about. If I start adding value to you, there's no way I cannot get value back. But if I come in selfishly and want to know what you can do for me, what you can do for me, I'm already on the wrong path.
That is so true. And it really is about looking for ways to not only help the joint venture partner, the person that you're working with, but also to make sure that the customers win, because if you don't take care of your customers, they won't be around very long, or they won't stick with you very long. And so it really has to be a three-way win, with you winning and the joint venture partners that you're working with winning, and the customers, really, really delivering value to the customers.
Exactly, and that's the bottom line, because, you know, people do business with people they love and respect, and you have to do everything to retain that love and respect, because it doesn't matter if you do a million right things. Once you do something that's wrong, that's the one that's going to stand out in their minds. So people always remember how you make them feel. And for us entrepreneurs, we always have to maintain that. So, Willie, where do we start with the joint venture?
Well, we probably should define joint venture first. And I define it as just two or more people working together to jointly grow their business, but I'm in the internet marketing niche most often, although I do a lot of things with offline businesses too, and most often there it's looking at getting other people to help promote your product, and then maybe you're doing a reciprocal promotion, but getting them to help promote your product for a commission, and usually it's a higher commission than you'd pay just a regular affiliate. That's the thing that most internet marketers think of as joint ventures, although there can be other types of joint ventures. You can jointly create products. You can jointly build mailing lists or websites. Mm-hmm. You can reach out to people that you'd like to help promote your product and actually make them a part of your product by interviewing them and including them in the product or recommending them on the back end. So there's a lot of ways you can do joint ventures, but once you define what the joint venture is going to look like, then it's really structuring things so that, again, everybody wins. It's just looking for ways where your partners win. And as you approach potential joint venture partners, you have to answer the question that they don't really ask you point blank, but it's, why should I work with you rather than all the other people out there who are looking for someone to partner with and to promote their products? And so you have to answer that question. You know, why should they promote you and your products over all the other options out there?
Mm-hmm. So in other words, what makes you unique?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And well, what makes you unique and just, why should they... why should they promote your products and services to customers that they've a customer database they've spent a lot of time and energy building? I mean, they're very protective of that. That's, for many online businesses, their most valuable asset is their customer database. Because I've been at it for 13 years, so and I'm sure I have subscribers on my email list who've been subscribers for 7 to 8 years. I mean, they tell me that all the time. And
wonderful.
They trust me, and they know me, and they like me, and so I have to be very careful what I promote to them. I have to make sure that a year from now, they'll be happy that I told them about a product or service. So when people approach me, my first question is, what's this really going to do for my customers' lives? That's the first question that I ask myself, and so it's the first question a potential joint venture partner, someone approaching me about promoting their product, has to answer for me is what's it really going to do for my customers? And if it's not, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it took you 13 years to build and establish and develop credibility with these customers. And if you are not cautious about what you promote or pitch to them, it only takes 24 hours to ruin this relationship. So I see why this is very important.
Yes, and your customers won't tell you. They won't tell you why they're not why they unsubscribe, why they're no longer listening to you. They just go away, and then when they go away, They do talk about you online, though. Word
people,
spreads very fast online.
You know, Willie, I used to be a Mary Kay sales director. And one of the things Mary Kay Ash used to say to us, you want a news to go around, tell a woman. So you make sure you treat all your female customers right, or else they're going to be telling everybody.
Okay.
Yes. So, why should they work with you versus the other person? You need to have that clear in your mind. You did a very eloquent job in explaining to us and defining what joint venture is. You point out the magnitude of value that business owners place on their database. And now we have all that clear. Where do we go from here?
Well, if you're a typical marketer, what I'm seeing lately is I work as a joint venture broker, which means that when someone has a product they want to launch, they often turn to me and say, help me to find partners, affiliates willing to promote my product. And I turn down probably 90% of people who come to me asking for me to help them promote their product because I have more business than I can handle, which is a good place to be. But the first question I ask myself and them is, what makes you think the market wants that product? Because if the market isn't interested in buying that product, they don't want it. If they're not already looking for the solution to the problem that product solves, then it's an uphill battle. And I choose not to take on uphill battles for the most part. I don't need to, because there's already so many products out there that I know will do well. So where you go is, the first thing you have to do is do your market research and confirm that even before you create the product or service, that it will sell, that people are already looking for solutions to the problems that that product solves. Because the hardest product in the world to sell, especially on the Internet, is a product that people don't realize they need. They don't realize they have the problem. They don't know that way. You have to educate them as to what the product is and why they need it and what it does. It's much easier to sell a product that they're already looking for, that they're already buying similar products. And so you start by just confirming that the market wants the product. The JV partners that you, the potential joint venture partners that you're going to be approaching, they know what their customers want. And so if you approach them and they look at something and they go, well, what is it and what does it do? If they don't understand why their customers need it, then they'll have a hard time selling it to their customers, and they know that. So you'll have a hard time getting people to even agree to promote it if it's going to require too much educating the consumer.
Right, right. That's a very valid point there, because, you know, too often you listen to the business coaches and everybody like that, and they keep telling you, focus on the problem you're solving. Focus on the problem. Focus on the problem, because that is what is going to attract the customers / clients to you. When they understand, oh, yeah, I have this problem, and here is the solution, they are going to come to you. But if they don't have the vaguest idea about what it is you're going to be offering them, they're not going to be doing any business with you.
Right, they're not. And you have to also, as you're developing the product, define your customer very clearly, because you have to make sure that you're selling to someone who meets three criteria. One, they need to want that product or want the solution to the problem that product solves. Two, they have to be willing to pay for it. And three, they have to be capable of paying for it. So, I mean, you can target a customer demographic that really, really wants the product but maybe can't afford it, honestly can't afford it, and so that's a losing proposition. So you have to have all those things in place, and you have to look at that really, really closely. You know, are you targeting the right customers? And you have to also, before you approach potential joint venture partners, have tested your entire sales process out. You need your web page. You need to have actually gotten some visitors to go to your website and monitor the number or percentage of them that actually bought the product, because you're asking your potential joint venture partners to maybe send emails to their mailing list and send their subscribers over to look at your product and hopefully buy it. And you need to make sure that that the web page actually works, that the process converts before you ask them to do that. Because if you don't, and they send over thousands of visitors and nobody buys, they'll never do business with you again.
I have to tell you, you said something now that I know had my name on it. And I'm going to be just telling the entire world. It is being around customers who are willing to pay you and capable to pay you. Because that is something I struggle with, Willie. I'm always serving all these people who they can't afford to pay. And it's like, you know, they keep draining you and draining you and draining you. And then majority of what you do turn out to be a ministry thing. And nothing is wrong with ministry world. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. But it comes a time when enough is enough. And these type of people become parasites. So I thank you for really saying that out loud and clear, Willie, because that's something I'm working on now of removing myself from, because it really drains you.
Yeah, I grew up extremely poor. In fact, I was on welfare most of my youth, with government subsistence. And so I have nothing against helping people who need help. But one of the problems with people who grew up like me is mindset. And until they shift their mindset, which is something you learn, often it's very difficult for them to just break out of that cycle of poverty in the first place. So you do end up spending a lot of time working with people who won't do the things they need to do. And I'm all for helping people. I've all my entire online career made myself very available. I've done like free conference calls and all kinds of things to help people. But you do have to focus on, as one of my mentors, Dan Kennedy, says, he says, go to where the money is. You know, go to people have and are willing to spend the money. And that's why a lot of the joint ventures I do are actually with local offline businesses, because those businesses have budgets set aside. They know that if they don't advertise, that they'll be out of business very soon. Their competition will steal their customers. And they're spending thousands on, like, Yellow Page ads and things like that. So that's a big part of my customer database. Even though I'm an Internet marketer, a lot of the joint ventures I do even are with local offline businesses. I'm in partnerships with numerous offline businesses just because they have budget set aside and they know that if they don't spend money growing their businesses, that they'll move backwards.
You know, Willie, I just realized I was so excited in getting into conversation with you, and I forgot to announce the number where callers can call in. So I want to take a couple minutes to do that, because that's important. Callers, please go ahead and call 646-915-8166. So when you have a question for Mr. Crawford, and I'm in conversation with the amazing Willie Crawford, the guru of online marketing and joint ventures. And there's a call here. I think I know who it is, but I just want to make sure that this person doesn't have has a question or something. Caller, good morning. Your last four digits are 7964. Welcome to the A New Day Show. If you have a question, would you state your name, where you're calling from, and your question, please?
I'm just calling in. This is Dr. Mills.
Oh, you're calling in to listen. Good morning, Dr. Mills.
Good morning. How are you, Dr. May?
I am wonderful. Mr. Crawford is on the line. So you're listening in, and when you have a question, you can let us know.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yes, Willie, back to you. Dr. Mills is... an associate of mine, Willie, which I think we're going to be doing some things together. So
excellent.
As we develop, I'm sure you will be hearing more about us.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it. It's always good when you can find associates that are interested in what you're doing and looking to, mm-hmm. Jointly work together on projects.
Yes.
It's always a great thing.
Yeah, because that's something that a lot of people don't do too well, especially our culture, I oftentimes look at other races and how well they collaborate together, yet I think black folks got some issues around where that is concerned. But I don't say it out of any hating.
Right.
But there's some of us who really still need work in that area. Because we have to figure out where you're from, where you're this, where you're that, you speak different, you sound funny, and a whole lot of stuff before we say, let's pool the resources together for the betterment of everybody.
Yes,
so I'm glad that you are here.
It's my pleasure. I spent 20 years in the military, which made me to a large extent almost colorblind, because in the military was the first part of American society to integrate. They had to, because in war you can't keep units separate. I spent 20 years traveling the world, went to 47 different countries, and learned to speak 5 different languages. And so I do watch how different cultures, different groups of people interact. And I don't know what it is, but it has to be a willingness to realize that when you work together with other people that you all benefit, and you have to look for ways to grow everyone. And to me, joint ventures is also about trusting other people. And I'm...
That's right.
I only form business partnerships with people I honestly trust. I mean, it's crazy to go out and maybe jointly create a product or something with someone that you don't even trust. I mean, you know that you're going to be in business with this person perhaps years, and so why would you, form a partnership if you didn't trust the other person? There's just so many people that you can connect with, and then those are the people that you should be forming joint ventures with. If you don't trust someone, you should trust your instincts. If your instinct says there's something
That's
about
right.
this person I don't like, then you should trust that instinct.
Mm-hmm. Because, Willie, joint ventures and partnership is like a marriage. It's like you're taking on another spouse, because you're going to be spending a lot of time with that person. So not only you need to trust that person, but your spouse also need to feel comfortable with that person too, because you're going to be spending a lot of time together on the projects that you work on. So it is very, very important. Oh, Willie, we are at the halfway mark. I want for you to please give your contact information out. However, you and I will continue in our conversation until the next guest calls in. So we have somebody out of Arizona coming on for the second segment. But you and I will continue in conversation until she gets on. But would you please give out your contact information for the listeners?
Well, the best way to contact me, or the best place to follow me and what I'm doing, is to go to my blog, my weblog, at williecrawford.com/blog2. That's blog and the number 2. I'm also I'm a co-founder of The JV University, which is at thejvuniversity.com, and they can put a / and then Willie. So thejvuniversity.com/Willie. That's actually a school where we train other people to be joint venture brokers. A joint venture broker basically is someone who people come to and say, I have a product I want to launch, and can you help me to find people who are willing to promote my product to their databases, and I do that, but in doing that, I charge a percentage commission, typically 10%. So if I help someone to make $1 million in sales, I'll earn $100,000 just for making the connections, basically, and I teach other people how to do that in DJV University. So that's one of my bigger online projects. We actually put them through a 12-week course and certify them.
Okay. Oh, Willie, you are reading my mind. I was going to ask you, what's the duration for someone to be certified in that course? So would you please take a few minutes to speak about the JV University?
Yes, there's four co-founders, actually. There's a gentleman from England who sort of stumbled into joint ventures, and actually what he did was he noticed a series of books online, e-books I think they were, and he went to the e-book seller and said, have you ever thought of making videos out? He said it would be a lot easier to understand if you turned them into videos. And the person said, no, I never thought of that. Can you do that? And he said, sure. He created a video and said, okay, why don't we sell this? And the other person suggested that they split the money 50-50. And the other person said, I've sold 400,000 copies of that e-book. And they did a mailing, and my friend made his share of the profits from the sales was over $1 million. From just
wow.
Noticing someone else's product and saying, why don't you put it in a different format and creating a video and selling it. And he's done that numerous times since then, or done similar things numerous times since then. He's one of my partners at the JV University, and there's two others, one of whom I actually trained, David Preston. He does a lot of stuff with local businesses offline. And Gina Gaudio-Graves is known as the JV Queen. She's a fourth partner. So even that is a joint venture. But we noticed that there's so many people, I guess it's maybe due to the recession, so many people deciding that now is the time for them to release their own product, and they come to us
mm-hmm.
and say, can you help us? And we noticed that
mm-hmm.
there was just more demand than there were people who knew how to do this. And so we put together a training course, a formal course, where we actually train them, look over their shoulders. They have to actually do the work and orchestrate a joint venture before we certify them. And
mm-hmm.
so at that point, they're ready to go out and make quite lucrative incomes, even if they help someone who had a simple piece of software to launch it, and they only made, say, $200,000. If that broker's making 10%, that's $20,000 for what might be just a couple days or a week's work. So quite lucrative.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And it's fun.
Oh, Willie, you and I really need to talk. Woo. You said something about my light bulb just went boop, boop, boop. So you and I really need to talk offline.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It is amazing. If you are just joining us, I am in conversation with Mr. Willie Crawford, one of the world's greatest experts on internet marketing and joint ventures. The telephone number to call is 646-915-8166, and we want you to call in with your questions. Yes, Willie. So now people who are listening, they not only can engage your service and your expertise as a joint venture, but they can come to the JV University and get certified in a mere 12 weeks course where they themselves can go out and attract their own joint venture clients and
yes.
make the large percent just like you do. So,
and what they're basically doing is they're saying, okay, I could spend a lot of time and build an online business and build a database and eventually start making sales. Or they can step back and say, why don't I just find people who've already built the list, connect them with people who have products, and as a finder's fee or as a connector, earn a percentage of their sales. And that's what a joint venture broker basically does. But we teach them to make sure all of the pieces are in place to make sure that it's going to be a successful product launch. And so they learn a lot about e-commerce in general. In fact, after they finish that 12 weeks, we actually have a full year of training in internet marketing that they can and are encouraged to go through. That's included in the tuition for the
mm-hmm.
training.
Mm-hmm.
So we teach them.
That was what I was going to ask about the tuition. You want to talk about that? How much it costs for the?
Well, it's changing. We if they go to thejvuniversity.com/Willie, they can see what's on the current page. But we have a class of 12 students right now who will finish in about 2 weeks, and then we'll start another class. And the tuition, we're still debating what it's going to be. In fact, I have a call later today where we'll look at that. We'll look at online marketing is all about testing. And you test one prize, and if that prize has the results you want, then you stick with it. If not, then you ask, you know, should I lower or raise my price? So we are constantly price testing.
Yeah, so we have to be flexible. Nothing is carved in wood or stone, so we need to be flexible. Again, I'm here in conversation with Mr. Willie Crawford. And you know, Willie, you are just a wealth of information, and I know I really have to have you back another time, because it's so much information that you have that can benefit not only myself but to my listeners. And I thank you for being so generous with your time. So if I ask you right now to give us a list to guide us into creating a product that we want to approach our joint venture partner with, what would that list look like?
Well, the first thing I would do, you need to do, is identify who your market is, because, you know, it's not the world. It's some specific group of people with a very clearly defined problem that they are aware of. So you need to verify that there's a problem out there, that there's a big enough market, a large enough group of people who are aware of a problem that they want to solve, and then you create the solution to that problem. And then you then need to find who has the attention of the people who are trying to solve that problem. For example, there are people with large databases of people interested in very specific topics, whether it's a certain type of pet or a hobby or a certain health issue or financial issues. You're looking for who already has the attention of your ideal customer, because what you as a joint venture broker are going to, or you as a person looking for joint ventures is going to do, is you're going to approach those people about promoting your product to them. There are websites, for example, discussion forums that are, say, for work-at-home moms or something like that, and they have sometimes tens of thousands of regular visitors. So you want those people who have an audience to promote your product. So if they've got tens of thousands of regular visitors and they have a database, maybe a mailing list, if you get just a few of those people to promote your product, it's going to be a success. Getting joint ventures really isn't a numbers game. It's about finding the right people, because as an internet marketer, I often go out and I can get hundreds, even thousands of people to sign up and agree to promote a product, and 90% of them will do nothing. They'll love the idea and they'll sign up, and then for some reason they do nothing. So you're looking for people who are actually going to follow through and do what they say and can deliver the results. And so it's really about tracking down the right people. I use the search engines. I would say, okay, for someone who is my ideal customer, maybe they're someone who has migraine headaches. Maybe my product teaches you how to solve migraine headaches by eating the right foods, by maybe exercise or something along that line, herbal medicines, whatever. I'm looking for someone who already has the attention of people interested in that topic, and there are people who already have the attention of those. So I say, okay, for someone, you say, for someone who's looking to solve that problem, what would be the words they type into the search engines to find the solutions? And then you type those words like, you know, cure migraine headache or whatever, and you notice who is at the top of the search engine, who already has the busiest websites and the top discussion forums, and you look at their sites and you see if they already have databases or mailing lists, and if they do, then those are the people you want to contact about selling your product to their audience, and you look on their website for their contact information. Basically, I use the phone as much as I do email to contact those people, and Go ahead.
Willie, I want to piggyback on something you mentioned before, is that people sign up for a lot of things that they do nothing with. Do you think this is because a lot of people are so accustomed to these get-rich-quick schemes, and everybody they start out looking for microwave results? It's like putting the popcorn on the microwave and bam, push the popcorn button, and it pops, it's ready. So they're not willing to go the distance to be successful?
Yeah, we do live in a society where we want instant gratification, and people, in my world, people who don't say that the product's going to deliver fairly quick results don't make as many sales as the ones who do, and mm-hmm. so there's just a tremendous pressure to say you're going to have overnight success, you mm-hmm. know, which is it's almost impossible.
That's right.
You know, I jokingly say that I'm an overnight success after 13 years at marketing online.
But people
just want to know they want to believe that there's going to be very little work involved, that it's possible to be an mm-hmm. instant success, which isn't realistic. I mean, if it was that easy, then everybody who has these offline jobs that they hate would quit those jobs and go online and do the things that work overnight.
That's right. Thank you. Well, thank you for just, you know, expanding on that, because people need to get real.
Right.
Yeah, so we're talking about the list, identifying your market and, you know, who has the attention of the people you want, finding the right people. You spoke a lot about using search engine. So what else is on that list, Willie?
Yes, and I mentioned search engines just because if, say, there's 200,000 pages out there that target a specific term, the mm-hmm. people who are at the very top of the listing on the front page, those are the people who are the most active, who are the most expert at marketing, and therefore they are the ones you do want to approach. And then mm-hmm. it's really a matter of approaching these people and explaining to them why it's to their benefit and to their customers' benefit to get your product, why their customers would appreciate them introducing their customers to your product. And again, that goes back to, you know, just explaining how they, more often than not, they're not as interested in the money as in taking care of their customers. You know, someone who spent years building that database, again, they want to make sure that their customers are going to get a really top quality product, that your customer service is going to be good, and they want to know that, you know, you're not going to destroy that database they built, they spent years building.
The relationships, exactly. So it goes back to adding value, you know. Whatever we're doing, we must have the value proposition clear to the customers, to ourselves, and to the partners, the joint venture partners that we are looking to go into relationship with. Because relationships are important. It took you 13 years to build those, Willie, and it can take a 5 minutes conversation to ruin all of that. So
you
have to guard that.
When we talk joint ventures, and in my world, we're talking about getting someone else to promote your product to their database. It's not something where you just create a product and then go out and find a bunch of people to promote your product. What you should be doing is, mm-hmm. as you're developing that product, or even before you develop that product, once you identify the market niche or the market universe, you need to be reaching out to other people who you will eventually need early. I say dig your well before you're thirsty. And
that's right.
People like...
So you were really raised by your grandmother, Willie.
Yes. People like helping, and they like working with people that they know already. You know, if
mm-hmm.
if several people approach them about promoting products to their database, they're going to help. They're going to work with the one that they already know. People like helping their friends, and so you actually need to develop relationships before you want to approach that person and say, "Can you promote my product?" You know, if
That's
they're
right.
already your friends, then it's just a matter of saying to your friend, I have this product I'm trying to get out to the world. Can you help?
Mm-hmm.
And your friend's very likely to say yes. Then they may or may not ask for some type of reciprocation. So it's that's why I personally attend a lot of conferences and seminars. In the month of January, I'll be on a 7-day cruise that'll have about 400 internet marketers. So for 7 days, we'll be cruising to Mexico and watching looking at ancient Mayan ruins and stuff like that. But I will be, for 10, 12 hours a day sitting around the pool or whatever with other people in my industry, taking pictures with them, getting to know them so that when I need for them to do joint ventures with me, it's as simple as me picking up the phone and saying, you know, can you do this? And they know me and they trust me, and hopefully from hanging out with me on the cruise, they've learned to like me.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's what it's all about, you know?
It's about
relationships, relationships.
Right.
Relationships. Willie, we have 9 minutes remaining. However, I did promise that we will continue in conversation until Marsha Petrie-Sue calls in.
Okay.
And so we're going to continue. What I want you to start doing is summarizing your thoughts now, because I wouldn't want her to call in and we didn't get a chance to do that. So
okay.
What do you want the listeners to hold in mind? How can you simplify all this amazing information that you shared with us
for the
listeners?
The biggest thing is to remember that when you're seeking joint ventures, when you're trying to get someone else to promote your product to their customers, they've spent a lot of time developing a database of people who trust them, and so that they're probably their most valuable business asset is a database of people who trust and buy from them because they know they're going to be taken care of. So you need to make sure that, first of all, your product is absolutely top quality. And I see so many products that are substandard that that are – you can't read 2 or 3 e-books on a topic and then say, well, I'm an expert on that topic now, I understand it, and create a product on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
You could, I guess, get a researcher to create the product for you like that. But if the product is not different enough, if it's not exciting enough, then you'll have trouble finding someone to be interested in promoting your product. That's one thing. You need a top quality, a world class product. You need a proven sales process with a web page that converts, that when people send visitors over, that they're going to buy because you've already tested the process. You need you need tools that your joint venture partners can use. For example, some like sending emails, but others like sending their customers to watch videos that explain the product, or like doing interviews. I do quite a few interviews with product owners where my real purpose is to sell their product. And so we talk about not the product, we talk about the problem that the product solves, and then at the end we point out that the product is the perfect solution, and we give an affiliate URL, which is how I earn a commission, and that's one of my favorite sales techniques, and a lot of your potential joint venture partners prefer that, because not everybody who will be willing to promote your product wants to yell and scream at their customers, go buy this or the world's going to end. Some of them like soft sell. They like to gently point out a product and let the customer, lead the customer to the conclusion that that's the solution to their problem. But they don't want to send out an email that says, you need to buy this right now because the price is going to increase tomorrow and this is your last chance. They want to give the customer time. And so you have to
pamper them into doing the business.
Yes. You have to let your joint venture partners use the tactics that they prefer using with their customers, because some of them don't want to strain their relationships, and they don't want to use aggressive sales techniques. So
it doesn't work for everybody.
No. Some people have spent years building a relationship, and their customers know and like and trust them because of their style, and so you need to make it easy for them to promote your product using their style, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Another important thing you need to be aware of is what is going on in your industry. You need to, as you say, you're planning a product launch where you're going to, on a certain date, start selling your product, and you're looking for people to promote it. You need to be aware of whether or not there are other people planning on releasing products right around that time frame, because if there's someone who is, say, bigger, more well-connected, it's very possible that they'll make so much noise in the marketplace, there'll be so many people promoting their product, they'll drown you out. So you need to be aware of that. And one place people can go to learn about what else is going on as far as product launches is concerned is a site called the International Association of Joint Venture Brokers. That's at IAJVB. IAJVB.org.
I'm writing that down.
IAJVB.org. And what that is the database. It's the International Association of Joint Venture Brokers. That's what the IAJVB stands for. And it's a database of where members and people planning product launches have entered in, okay, on this date, I'm planning a product launch in the personal development or the fitness or the internet marketing niche. And so other people planning launches can look in the database and see what's there and say, okay, there's already 10 things planned for that week, so let me move mine by a week or two. That's the benefit of it.
You support each other instead of competing against.
You do, and in fact, you can say, okay, there's someone already planning a launch that week. Maybe when they sell to their customers and their customers already purchased their product, maybe on their thank you page, they can say, well, here's another product that might help you too, and they can recommend my product. So you can contact those people and say, maybe we can work together. It's a way of even finding potential partners that you can cross-promote each other. Or maybe you can contact someone who's planning a product that talks about the problem that your product solves, and you can say, well, why don't you interview me and put me in your product? You know, so there's a lot of room for synergy there, and that's the beauty of that database, which is only as good as its members, our members, keep it. But it is a resource. It lets you know what else is going on, because there's nothing more disappointing than working in a vacuum for months to create a product, and then when you roll it out, find out that there's just so many other things going on that no one's paying attention. Or even worse,
that's right.
To work months to create a product, and the week before you release your product, someone else releases a product very similar to yours, to your idea, and they beat you to market. That's that's terrible because you spent all that time.
Yeah, that can be very devastating, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, this is why the Internet is so beneficial, because it puts things at our fingertips. I listened to you speaking about having a co-founder in England. I mean, way back in the day, that couldn't happen.
Right, right.
Now,
from Atlanta to England, I don't know, maybe a six-hour flight on one of the bigger jets, and so we're very close. You know, the thing is, if you're thinking about creating a product and launching your own product, which is what many people do via joint venture, you have to realize that if you notice a problem and decide to create a solution to that problem, at the same time, there are many other people noticing that problem. And so it's very critical that you, first of all, notify the world that you have a solution that you're coming out with, and that's what the IAJVB database can do for you, but also that you not spend too much time thinking about it, because while you're thinking about creating a product, someone else is probably working on that product. And, you know, you turn around one day. You look one day and say they stole my idea. Well, they didn't steal your idea. They noticed the problem, too.
No.
And they
That's right. Would you hold a minute, Willie? You have a minute remaining. I want to make sure that this is not a question for you, but it is indeed my guest. Good morning. Your first three digits are 602. Is this Marcia?
This is Marcia.
Oh, Marcia, good morning. Well, I want
to
introduce you to my previous guest, Willie Crawford. Willie, meet Marcia, and you two need to know each other.
Hi, Marcia.
And Marcia, I'll give Willie a minute to just tie up, and I'll be right with you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for waking up so early in Arizona. Well, Willie, what I just pray that you had a quarter of the fun that I had this morning.
I did. I'm sure I had probably a lot more than a quarter of the fun. I enjoy helping other people. I enjoy sharing what I've discovered works. And it takes nothing away from me, and I believe that when you give, it comes back to you.
Yes, and I am thankful for connecting with you. I look forward for a positive, blooming relationship between us. I look forward to meeting your mother, who is 30 minutes away from me. And I just look forward to working with you, Willie, and I hope that you'll come back to their New Day show.
I would love to, Daphne.
Okay, so thank you again. And you want to have one closing statement?
Yes, and that closing statement is when you're looking at doing joint ventures and you're actually asking other people to help you, you have to be somewhat, I guess, prepared for rejection. So you have to realize that some people will say no to you, but great people throughout history have always said that you have to ask. You have to learn to ask. You can't get a yes if you don't ask. And so you have to be willing to just take risk and ask for what you need. That's my
yes. Oh, well, thank you so much, Willie. And I do hope, I know you're a busy man, but I hope you have a few minutes to maybe stick around or listen, because Marsha is going to be speaking about her new book, The Reactor Factor. So, Willie, again, I thank you for being so generous with your time and for passing on to us the wealth of information that you did this morning. Again, I thank you so much for your
time. And I will be listening, but I'll be listening over the Internet rather than via phone.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Willie.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless
you. Good morning, Mrs. Petra Sue.
Well, and how is the Miss Daphne?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. I miss Arizona. I miss Arizona.
Well, we're having glorious weather.
Oh, we're having a beautiful, rainy morning here in Connecticut. The leaves are still golden, but what is happening, the rain is kind of getting them off the branches onto the ground, but it is still a beautiful morning. Arizona is where I met you at a retreat one of my friends were doing, and I just fell in love with you since then.
Well, and thank you so much for that, and it's such a joy to be on your program again. Thank you for including me.
It is a pleasure. It's a pleasure. We need to do things together. As a matter of fact, that's
absolutely
what Willie was talking about joint venture,
right?
Because there's so much out there, and we need to really pull together and just serve the people and serve them well. So would you please, maybe some people already heard you when you were here the first time, and for the new people, tell them a little bit about who Marsha Petra Sue is, and then we are going to go directly into the reactor factor.
Excellent. Well, I'm a retired corporate executive. I retired in 1992 because I was just kind of finished with that whole being sucked into other people's lives, other people's goals, and everything else. So what I wanted to do, and my mission in life, and you've heard me say this before, is to give back more than I've received and connect my head and my heart with my mouth. My belief is that everyone was put on this earth for a very specific reason. We have to figure that reason out, and the minute we do, it fills our life with joy. So I feel that as a professional speaker from the platform and through my writing and my recording and my blog and everything that I do, I'm able to give people ideas to help them move forward and get to the level that they want, because everyone's view of success is different than everyone else. So that is my true goal, and that's one of the reasons I do write as much as I do. I am prolific because I really just like to download it, similar to what you do, and you do it through radio and your blogs and everything else. It was interesting, Daphne, when The Toxic People, which is my last book, has done very well. Actually, it was translated into Russian, Romanian, Czech, and French. I can't believe it.
Ooh,
I'm just,
congratulations.
I'm so thrilled with it. Yeah, thank you. So the publisher, John Wiley, out of New York, came back to me and they said, you know, we really want a book on people taking personal responsibility for their outcomes and also for being able to get through the entitlement attitude that permeates business and people's lives today. So that's where I came up with the reactor factor, how to handle difficult work situations without going nuclear. So I'm just thrilled about that.
Oh, God, I love the topic on the tagline. This, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. How did you select that topic on tagline, Masha?
Well, it's interesting because I have a lot of fabulous people in my life. I have some very successful speakers and presenters and authors. And when I come up with ideas, I use them as a sounding board. And I think the mm-hmm. listeners out there really need to pay attention to that because I think sometimes we are reticent and hesitant to take our ideas to other people and say, well, what do you think of this? And a lot of times they'll say, well, that's really stupid. I don't know why you're thinking that way. And other times they'll say, this is brilliant, but I think we have to be willing to take the risk. So I have to tell you, mm-hmm. the Reactor Factor title comes from a gentleman you may be familiar with. He was actually on Neil Cavuto last night, and he's a very dear friend of mine. His name is Larry Wingate, and he wrote a book called Shut Up, Stop Whining, and Get a Life. And so he came up with the Reactor Factor. And we were really struggling with the tagline, and I couldn't mm-hmm. get anything that really related back to Reactor. And so I was at a certified speaking professional summit. There's actually less than 600 of us in the world. And a gentleman mm-hmm. named Jeffrey Gittimer, who is another friend of mine, said, here it is, how to handle difficult work situations without going nuclear. So I would love to tell mm-hmm. you that I'm that brilliant, but I'm not. I rely on other people to help me with my information, and I think people out there really need to pay attention to that because this is what successful people do. They take their own thought, and they take risks. They take it back to other people, and they send it out, and they say, okay, what do you think? Is this a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
That may be
what's exactly, wrong. And that's what masterminding is all about. That's what
yes.
power teams are for. Because, Masha, I keep saying, if I am the smartest person in the group of people I'm hanging out with, I need a new group.
Yeah,
because,
totally agree.
You know, if you are the smartest person there, you are not learning and you are not stretching.
That's exactly
I want
right.
To,
go ahead.
I want to remind listeners that they can call in at 646-915-8166 if they have a question. And if you are in the chat room, bear with me. I'll eventually get to you because I don't know what happened. My producer was supposed to be on, and she's not on. I don't know if she overslept. So with that being said, there's a caller on. Your first two digits are 248. Do you have a question for Masha? If you do, please state your name and where you're calling from and your question, please.
Oh, this is Dana. I'm from Michigan. I don't have a question. I was just listening.
Okay. Thank you, Dana. So then I'll put you on mute and take you off. If you do have a question, would you signal me, please?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Masha, so let us continue. You were just talking about the importance of having a network, and to just summarize it, and to utilize those people. Because you
right.
don't have to take credit for everything you do.
No.
So long as what you're putting out is adding value to other people.
Right.
And that's...
Yeah, I actually have a chapter in the book, chapter 7, and it's titled, Is Your Networking Working? The Good, the
mm-hmm.
Bad, and the Connected. And you and I know this because I know you use it, I know I use it, is that I think for effective relationship building, we have to learn how to use Facebook well, We need to learn to use Twitter, LinkedIn, Plaxo, Facebook, all of those things, MySpace, and all of it, and use it to your advantage, both personally and professionally. One of the things
That's right.
I found that I did with the release of this book is that I really have been leveraging Web 2.0. There's so many good people out there writing on this, and I think that it will really help us connect around the world because I've received emails already back from Thailand, from Australia, New Zealand, Korea, I mean, all over the place. Even I have a couple people in Romania that are now looking to even take this book and do it again, translate it into Romanian. So I think leveraging that networking that we have, it's just not face-to-face. It has to be using the web. And I know a lot of people aren't comfortable with it. Well, I'm going to give you a book that I think you should all read, and it's fabulous. Get onto his blog and download his information. It's Chris Brogan, C-H-R-I-S-B-R-O-G-A-N. And he is the one that has taught me so much about really using this for personal and for professional. So my question to your listeners is your networking working? Are you spinning your wheels? Are you taking too much time? If you are, understand how to use it. And I'll tell you what, I'm no spring chicken, and if I can use this stuff, I think everybody can. So I think the whole networking thing, you're right on by sharing that with people and helping them just through your blog, talk, radio, and that sort of thing. That's part of Web 2.0. So that is what employers and people are looking for in people that they want to move forward. So I think the networking part is critically important. And, Daphne, the other thing I really wanted to talk about, and I haven't talked in some of my other interviews, and I've done a ton of radio this week because this is my big launch week. And, by the way, if anyone is interested, they can find my book on Amazon.com and just type in The Reactor Factor, and it will take you right there. It's also available on Kindle, by the way. But I think one of the things we have to look at, and this is actually chapter 4 in the book, is what do your leaders want from you? What is it that you need to bring to the party to help you succeed? Now, here's the real bottom line of this. I think that people where they say, well, I don't have the information I need to do my job, my leader, my supervisor, my manager really doesn't tell me, it is not their job. The book and I think everybody's lives have to be about taking personal responsibility for every single thing you do. So what do leaders want? They want you to come back to them and express enthusiasm, take the initiative, solve problems, dress professionally, display maturity. They want you to do all these things, and then you will be reacting to your job situation. You'll be doing a better job. You will succeed instead of reacting where you're knee-jerking. So responding is really learned. Reacting is knee-jerk. So when you look at what do your leaders want, they really want some of these core values, and you need to display them. So I think that becomes critically important. One of the things that I did in the book is I went out and I interviewed 45 of the top leaders in the world. I have people from Australia. I have people from England. I have, maybe you know, Todd Davis. He's the CEO of LifeLock. He's the one that holds up his Social Security number. I interviewed Todd because I wanted to learn from them, what is your expectation of people that you want to grow and keep in your universe, in your company? So I have all these different lessons in the book. Todd's lesson happens to be do what you should, not what you can. And if you really think about that, isn't that good? I really like
that's
that.
That's right.
I really like that a lot. Jim Myers, who is the founder and CEO of Myers Financial Management Group, he says, be very specific when you outline the criteria you expect people to bring to your team. So that means that either as a team member or a team leader, that you need to really pay attention to Jim's lesson. And there's a bunch of other lessons in there, too, that I think are very, very important for us. Jim talks about a lot about having a positive attitude. And what I found in this economy, in this environment, it is very, very difficult to keep your chin up. It's very hard, but that comes from inside. And you of all people, I know me of all people, we understand that there are going to be days that do not bode well for us, that we get up and we're just not in the mood, we don't want to do it, but from your inside out, you have to say, do what you should, not what you can. And you have that spirit, that whole theory has to come from inside. So that positive attitude really starts with how you think about yourself. If you talk positively about yourself, don't you think, Daphne?
Yes, because you know, Marsha, all of what you just mentioned ties into the purpose and passion factor, why we are involved in what we do. Because that passion and that burning desire inside of us is what propels us to go out and do what we have to do. Even when the snow is high, even if you don't have gas in the tank, that passion says, well, I got to walk and get this thing done. So this is why it is so extremely important to identify what our true calling and purpose is, because that is what is going to bring us the wealth in life that we so truly deserve. But if we put the wealth before the purpose and the passion, we are losing the focus. I want to ask you to allow me, Marsha, to welcome, well, my producer is online. I want to welcome her, Pat Keith Johnson, and she's out of Florida. And it's an amazing story, because for those of you who knew, I did traditional radio prior to coming on to Blog Talk Radio. And Pat was my producer then, and she relocated. And we had a conversation during the week about why not be the producer again. So now she's back, and I thank her. I met a new Blog Talk family, Tell It Like It Is. And I think Tell It Like It is out of the L.A. area. I want to welcome you, sir, to the show. And to Mr. Crawford for following through on your word and joining us in the chat room. So I thank all of you. If you have a question, you can type it. I'll keep checking back to see what the question is and get it over to Marsha. So thank you, Marsha, for allowing me to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I think when we think about how we think, one statement that I love is that you become what you think about. You know, so I know you think about yourself in a very positive vein. I'll bet Pat does the same thing, because you really become what you think about, which means that if you say to yourself, you can't, I won't be able to, it'll never work, I'm the wrong color, I'm the wrong age, I'm the wrong gender, I'm the wrong generation, whatever it is, your mind will believe that wording, and you will sabotage yourself into failure. On the other side of that, when you say, I can, I'm going to give it that good college try, I'm going to put all my energy into this, I'm going to stay focused, I'm going to be diligent, and I know there's going to be rough spots in the road. I know it's not a perfect world, but I'm going to get over it, because life is hard and life is not fair. But that's okay, because I have the mental wherewithal and the mental tools to move forward. And I'll tell you what else I've learned with this, Daphne. These are learned skills. These are things that we can choose to change in our mental thinking, or we can choose not to change. It's not that we can't. And I believe when people get stuck in that rut, that they really need to turn inside, not outside, to what is it happening in my mind that is sabotaging me. Because you know, because I know. Yeah, we've all done it.
The other thing, Marcia, is that people need to realize that the universe does not know when you are joking and you're kidding around. So
right.
When you kid around with those negative words, you manifest them because
right.
The universe continues to work with what we give it to work with. So you need to focus on the positive. Don't joke around because it's going to be manifested. So just keep saying the right things.
That's right. And we have to be very, very careful with that. And by the way, I've got a couple articles that I think will be very interesting to your readers. One is Laid Off, Ticked Off, and Broke, and it's on my website. And people, if people go into www.marciapetrysue.com, that's M-A-R-S-H-A, P as in Paul, E, T as in Tom, R-I-E-S-U-E.com, they will be able to download those articles. There's a lot of other free stuff in there, but it's called Laid Off, Ticked Off, and Broke. Because I think that there's a lot of people right now, especially with what the economy is doing, that don't have jobs and they get sucked into the negative spiral. It's funny because my husband's daughter, Karen, who is 48 years old, she has been laid off many, many times because she's a top leader within the banking industry. And every time, you know, there's an acquisition of a bank or whatever, sometimes her job becomes redundant. This is her attitude. She said, if I get laid off one more time, I'm going to be able to retire. Because every time she gets laid, isn't that great? Every time she gets laid off, she repackages herself, she repossesses herself. But here is my advice to everyone listening to this call right now. Always have an active, up-to-date resume. Make sure you understand what a resume needs to be in today's environment. Because I'll tell you what, employers do not care what you have done. What they care about is what you bring to their party. What are your talents? How are they going to help them achieve their goals? So all of this waxing poetic about what you've done and been doesn't amount to a hill of beans. What you need to do is reposition that. And actually, in Chapter 9 of my book, The Reactor Factor, I talk about this, and I talk about websites like Monster.com to use to make sure that you understand what are the nuances of the resources and the resumes to be used today. I highly recommend that everyone listening, you start keeping what I like to call a success journal. That's where you write down all the cool and groovy stuff that happens to you, because then when someone comes to you and says, what are your talents? What can you bring to my party? You've got a document. You've got a success journal, so you know how to package and market yourself. I also think that what everyone should be doing right now is go into your marketplace, go into your industry, and look at your talents and see what your value is right now today in the workplace. What is it that you bring? So it's so very important for us to understand this is all about personal responsibility. And you don't have to go nuclear in difficult work situations. You don't have to get all upset if you do get laid off. It's repositioning. It's an opportunity
to do
something new and different that you may have never thought of before. So I think it's really important, you know, whether you're laid off and even if you're running a company, unless it's a private company and you own the company, you do not know right now in this point in time what they are planning for you. So
that's
where personal responsibility comes in.
Now, you know something, Marcia? People should always bear in mind, especially when you don't own that company, that you are positioned here for a season. So when a laid off comes, that's the end of that season.
Right.
And I love the success journal because it helps you track all the wonderful things and growth that you have accomplished. Because, you know, I'm such an advocate for journaling. I love journaling.
Yeah.
And people get into pity parties when they are laid off because they look at it and say, well, I haven't accomplished anything at this job. But during
right.
that time, as you flick those pages of the success journal, you look and say, oh, my God, I have grown so much.
Right.
Now, this is what I have to offer the next
right.
organization I enter into. I love it, I love it, I love it.
Well, and you
oh, by the way, Marsha,
yeah. yes.
Marsha Willie says you are discussing some great stuff.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. You bring up a really good point about journaling. I think that a lot of times when people journal, and I don't think it's negative or bad, but you have to have basically two separate journals. Journaling typically
oh, yes.
downloads the negative stuff, all the stuff
mm-hmm.
you want to get off your chest. A success
mm-hmm.
journal is where you capture the good stuff. I've been doing this for 25
mm-hmm.
years. Great example mm-hmm. is when I found out my book had been translated into a foreign language, when I found out toxic people had been, I wrote it
mm-hmm.
down there, and I thought, now, this is an unexpected pat on the back. I am so
mm-hmm.
tickled about this. And then when it went into Russian and Romanian, and then finally Czech, and French was the
mm-hmm.
first one, I thought, man alive, this is awesome. You know, so
mm-hmm.
that becomes the way that we give our pat on the back, because I think a lot
mm-hmm.
of people are waiting for others to come back and pat them on the back, and that's okay. But we also
mm-hmm.
have to pat ourselves on the back.
Marsha, let me ask you a question. Did you journal anywhere over the years that you wanted your books published in other languages?
Yes, I did. And I think that's
exactly.
a law of attraction.
That's
yes.
right. And that
that's
I just asked that because I wanted the listeners to get the affirmation that the universe works with what you
yes.
give it. And you,
you
just need to put
there.
It out there.
That's right. You
put
it
out there. You don't have to follow it up.
That's exactly right. And if you continue, and that's why I think reading your own positive journal and your success journal, that reimplants
mm-hmm.
that thought and then that distribution out into the universe for you and for others. Because I'm going to
mm-hmm.
go back and I'm going to say it again. You become what you think about. If you think that your books are going to be translated into foreign languages, they probably will be. You know, and if they're,
that's right.
they're not, it's not the end of the world. Hey, I put it out there. It didn't
that's
happen.
Right.
Because when you keep putting a lot of stuff out there, not just one thing, but a lot of stuff out there, I guarantee it's going to happen. You know what it reminds me of? I believe in parking karma. I believe
mm-hmm.
that you can be driving along in it, and you look at a sea of cars, you say, sometimes people say to themselves, there's not going to be a parking place. There never is. But if they
mm-hmm.
say, you know, I'm feeling lucky today, there's going to be a place right up front. And if there's not,
that's
maybe
right.
I need the exercise. So I changed the whole
exactly.
dynamic of thinking, is it positive, is it negative, what am I throwing out there? And I'll tell you one thing, you throw out negative stuff, and that's what you're going to get back.
That's right. And it's,
yeah.
it's a choice. We can choose to be positive,
yes.
or we can choose to be negative. I want to, again, Marsha, just steal a couple of your seconds here to welcome my colleague from WDKK Radio, Mr. D.A. out of Ohio. And I also want to welcome guest number 494. And let me know when you have questions. And I also want to welcome guest number 495. I am now in conversation with my friend and colleague, Marsha Petrisoo out of Arizona. And please get questions coming in. Marsha had some powerful information. And I also want to encourage you to go back and listen to Willie's segment with me. That was another powerful show. So I thank all of you family members for joining. Okay, Marsha. Back
okay,
to you.
One of the things I wanted to mention, too, I do have a website for the book, and there's a kind of a cool book trailer on there that I recorded that I really like. And the website is Reactor Factor Book, ReactorFactorBook.com, ReactorFactorBook.com. Go in there and look at the trailer. It also allows you to really see what the content of the book is. If you go on to Amazon.com and type in the Reactor Factor, you can actually read through the book. You can look at the table of contents, and you can look at some of the chapters and that sort of thing. So you basically can get the information for nothing. And also on my website, of course, there's all kinds of free stuff. So I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that. I really want to get back, Daphne, to one of the things, and in one of the chapters I talk about what do leaders want. And one of the people I interviewed was a dentist, Dr. Bud Rasner out of Southern California. And here's his lesson for us all. As an employee, understand what your leader is looking for in all aspects of your position. As a leader, inform your people what you view as important. So all of this is two-sided. And I think a lot of times people say, well, I'm the leader, and I'm going to be spewing out everything that I want, and I don't understand why my people don't come to me. Well, if your people aren't coming to me, you better look in the mirror. I think of Michael Jackson's song, Man in the Mirror. You know, you have to make sure that from a leadership perspective, you are greasing the skids. You are making it easy for them to come back to you. As an employee, if you don't know what your job is, if you don't know what the perspective is your boss, your company, your goals, your team wants you to take, you better, by golly, get back there and start asking. You know,
exactly.
You
know what, Marcia?
What is that?
What I just got out of that, too many supervisors, leaders, or bosses have this distance between their people and themselves, and they do not understand the importance of the mindset around shared ownership. Because although those people are collecting a paycheck, the sooner you get as if they are owners, the better your production and success is going to be.
Okay, and you use two words that I think are absolutely brilliant. It's shared ownership. And you know what shared ownership does? It eliminates the entitlement attitude. Because there are many people out there with a handout, with an expectation of the next pay raise, of wanting more time off. It's me, 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 and that is
the
crux of entitlement attitude. And when you really understand that you have shared ownership with other people, it allows a better environment to occur. But I'll tell you what, we create our own environments, and the thing amazes me too, and you just reminded me of this, I think it's crazy that people stay in jobs that they hate. But I'll tell you why they do. The reason that they stay in jobs that they hate is because they don't have the mental wherewithal to be able to package their talents, to put themselves together, to build their own confidence, and go out there and find out what is their real value. So what do they do? Well, I can't leave. Look at the economy. Do you know, Daphne, I have a friend of mine whose company was just purchased by a very, very large conglomerate. She knew her job was going to be redundant. She knew it. So before she got laid off, and she knew she was going to, but she wanted to be laid off, so she got the package, she went out and totally repackaged herself. She is now making a quarter more than she was making in her job she was laid off from. She asked for a signing bonus because she brought so much talent to the new job. They gave her money to join this new company. Now, this was 2 weeks ago. So when people
tell me
I can't find a job, I'll say, no, it's because you choose not to find a job.
Exactly, because you are holding yourself hostage because of fear. because
exactly
of fear,
right.
You're holding yourself hostage. And people have to take risk in life, especially when it has to do with your success.
Yeah.
You have to take risk.
Well, one of the people that, and I can't even remember who it was, it may have been a Brian Tracy or a Zig Ziglar, one of the people that I know I personally love, is that they define fear as false evidence appearing
real.
Yeah.
And that
and
is
so
all that it is.
That's all it is.
And the more energy you put into it, the more real it looks to you.
Yeah.
And it's just an illusion.
Law of attraction. Yeah, it's that whole law of attraction thing. So I think when people feel fearful, they need to dig deep inside, look at their personal frames of reference. What has happened in my life that is creating me to think this way? It could be something said by a high school counselor. It could be something your parents told you. You know, it could be something really obtuse, but it is up to us to determine what is that that is creating that fear, that false evidence appearing real. Are you there, Daphne? Are you there, Daphne?
Yes, no, I am. I had to let my cat in. I'm sorry about that.
No problem. I didn't know if I'd lost you. I was going to call back very quickly.
No, you haven't lost me. I just figured you would have continued speaking, but you surprised me and stopped anyway.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make
sure
that you were okay.
I'm broadcasting from home this morning.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Marcia. No problem. I wanted to share another lesson that I think is really important, and this is from Jeff Haw. He's the managing director of Sagacity Services in Australia. Jeff says that self-examination and the right philosophy are the most critical factors for success, especially in difficult times. So I again think that self-examination is absolutely critical. And then somebody else that I interviewed, his name is Rod Covey, a very successful gentleman out of Seattle, Washington. He says, make the tough decisions. They are noticed. So I think
when we can
go back, and maybe there's a big problem that the team or the company is trying to solve, and we go back and say, you know, I think we're looking at the wrong problem here. To be able to shift the focus, to give a new dynamic, to give a fresh view to it is something that people can't be fearful of doing, because you will make yourself a star in that particular environment. I also like this one. This is a great one. If we didn't have downtimes, we would never be forced to look at the efficiency and effectiveness in our operations.
That's powerful.
Yeah, isn't that powerful? Dr. Stephen Gitt said that, and something that he did that I think is brilliant. He's has a private office. He's a doctor. And he said that one of the things that he did when the economy started to turn is that he took and asked each of his employees, he says, you're all responsible for your own little piece of the business. I want you to go back and look at the cotton balls, the swabs, the bedding, all the stuff, whatever it is that you touch every day. I want you to go back to the vendors that you do business with and that we buy this stuff through and see if you can renegotiate terms with them. I'm not going to leave it up to our office managers. Here's a real long story short. He saved and is now saving 45% of his overhead because of this. And I'm going to say it again. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I want to share something similar, and I'm going to ask you to read it afterwards. I giggled now because this past Sunday, I went to the opening of a new church in a town nearby to me, Danbury. And it was a Baptist church, and it's a very high-energy young Baptist preacher. And, of course, the bank that loaned them the money to build the church, the bank president was there. And he looked at the man in his closing remarks, and he said to the president of the bank, He said, you all know I'm a Baptist preacher, right? And everybody acknowledged, yes, affirmed. And then he said, when you give Baptist preacher money, you don't want it back, right? And everybody said, yeah, that's right. He looked at the bank manager and he said, the president, he said, can we renegotiate the loan? Because I don't know why you want me to pay this back. So
that's
I just
marvelous.
Thought, you said that and it brought that to my mind, you know?
Well, and you remind me of something that I think we all need to do in our communications. From now on, I want everyone to view, when you look at another person that you're talking to, or if you're on the telephone and you're thinking about them physically sitting there, I want you to picture their heads as a piggy bank. Because when we communicate with someone, we are either making a deposit into that piggy bank or we're making a withdrawal from that piggy bank.
Mm-hmm.
So when I communicate empathetically rather than autobiographically, I am making a deposit. When I talk about myself and it becomes autobiographical, I'm making a withdrawal. So I think it's really, isn't that cool? I really want
that
people.
That is power. That is beyond cool, Marcia. That is powerful.
Well, and it gives you the visual. It gives you the whole thing. Because what so many people do is that they talk from an autobiographical point of view because it's easier for them, because I always think about what Rick Dees says, the radio guy. He says, no matter where you go, there you are. So I'll give you an example of this. Two people are talking, and the one person says, you know, we just planned our vacation. We're going to go to Disneyland. And the other person says, oh, my gosh, we took the family to Disneyland a couple years ago, and it was just fabulous. You see how they're turning that back to their experience. Rather, if I'm communicating with empathy, with the intention of the other person in mind, I might say something like, oh, Disneyland, what were the other destinations you were looking at?
Mm-hmm.
It is so subtle. It is so subtle.
Wow.
So I think looking at that piggy bank, asking yourself, am I talking about me? If I am, it's a withdrawal. Am I talking about them? Then it's a deposit. So
exactly.
I want people.
Going straight back to adding value. Both segments are so in sync with each other. Because it's the bottom line. It's the relationship. It's the investment. It's the value that we add to other people.
That's right. That's right.
This
is
great stuff.
I want people to walk away from me and feel rich. And they won't even know. They won't even understand. But I know that it will be much easier next time for us to have a communication, because I have gone out of my way to build a relationship. So I want everyone to think about this, not just with someone you're trying to sell, but maybe with that person sitting in the cubicle next to you. Maybe it's with your boss, with a vendor. Think about it with your partner, with your children. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to feel rich, because this is where my life becomes rich. This is where I really respond to my life rather than react. This is where my job gets better, I feel richer, and everything in my life starts to transpire. So it's really something that I need to stay focused on.
You know, Marcia, I want to make a statement here about when I met you. You were on a panel of, I don't know if it was about 10 people or something.
Right.
And I listened to the words you said, and I watched your body language, and I felt drawn to you as if you were a magnet. And I remember coming up to you and speaking to you, and there were other people around who wanted your attention. But the one thing you did, you gave me your entire focus and attention until that conversation ended. So you are not only writing about these things are who you are. These are what you demonstrate in your life. And this is why it makes it so easy for you to write about it, and one of the reasons why you are so successful at what you do.
Well, thank you so much for that, Daphne. That just thrills me. And I'll tell you the one word that I want to put out there for everyone, and it's authenticity. Be yourself. Don't try to be anybody else, but it's authenticity. Look deep inside of yourself. Who do you want to be? How do you want to be perceived by other people? And for me, it's authenticity. You know, it's interesting in the speaking world, and I am blessed. My career is going extremely well, and I'm thrilled to pieces with every part of it. And when speakers come up to me and they'll say, gee, I want to be just like you, I say, no, you don't. You want to be just like you. You want to be
the authentic you.
And but a lot of people can't find their own voice. And
I think that's
because they have so much negative stuff going on in their mind that they try to supersede that negative with becoming someone else and not stepping back from it and becoming authentic. The one thing that slays me, I was just up at the U.S. Census Bureau speaking and in Washington, D.C., and there was a speaker on that I knew was going to be on the program, and they were talking about customer service and staying connected. Well, off the platform, they were yelling at people, I told you I wanted this water up there, the stage isn't set up properly, and all this. Then they get up there and try to wax poetic, and there was such a disconnect for me. I thought, how sad is that? How sad is that?
Yes.
That they
because, you
be...
know, Marsha, they say, don't tell me you love me, show me.
Yes.
Because people are always going to remember how you make them feel.
Yep. That's exactly
right. Very, very important. Yes.
And when you mentioned us talking at that panel all those years ago, there are some people that you talk to, and in the conversation, what are they doing? They're looking over your shoulder to see who's next.
All over your shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. And they're not creating that just oneness of that particular communication.
Yes, yes.
And I want to...
You know, Marsha, I don't know if you remember Troy Scott. He was on that same panel with you.
Yes, I do.
And
yes, I do.
You two are the two people. I forget how many years ago that was. And we are still on the web. I haven't seen you both physically, but we keep in touch via the internet. And it's such an amazing, maybe that's maybe what, 5 or 6 years? I don't even remember. But it's a long time.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. You know? And that to me is what it's all about, is making sure that you do connect with the people that are supportive, that are authentic and that sort of thing. And here's the opposite side of that. There are going to be people that have been put in your life to suck the life out of you.
Lord, I was talking about that with Willie before you came.
Yes. And so what we have to do, we have to recognize those people and we have to take action on them. And we have to make
them and release them.
That's exactly right. And do it kindly, you know, do it graciously. But those people are not supporters of you, your life, your focus, and the success that you expect from yourself. So,
Nor your vision.
And when we have people that say, well, I don't know why you're doing that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Here's a communication tool to use with them. It's called fogging because what it does, it helps diffuse the situation. This is where I say, you know, you may be right. Help me understand where you're coming from. Now, what
I've done
by saying that, I've thrown the ball back in their court. They now have to tell me what's wrong with my vision, with my focus, with my goals, whatever it is we're talking about. A lot of people don't like that. And what they will say to you is, oh, just drop it. And don't let them get away with it. Don't let them get away
with it.
Come back to them
and say,
no, no, no. You would have not brought it up unless it was important. I want to know more.
Right.
And if they say, well, I don't want to talk about it, say, well, I'll tell you what, I want you to think about it, and we're going to get back together in a day, 2 days, a week, whatever
it is.
And
hold
I want to
them
make
responsible.
Sure that, absolutely.
Hold them accountable.
What,
And they're going to start assessing themselves and start making those remarks. Stop making those remarks to people. You know?
That's right.
So long as you hold them accountable.
Yeah.
Marsha,
and
I don't know where the time went. We have 10 minutes remaining. I want to please ask you to give out your contact information so people know how to get in touch with you.
Thank you. Thank you. My website is www.marshapetriesue.com, and that's M-A-R-S-H-A, P as in Paul, E, T as in Tom, R-I-E-S-U-E.com. And if you're interested in the Reactor Factor book, it's just a phenomenal book, please go to the Amazon website and just type in The Reactor Factor. And if you send me the validation that you've purchased the book, I'm going to send you a download of my ebook, The CEO of YOU. I will send you the a listening CD, and I'll also send you the download of my book, Decontaminate Toxic People Without Using Weapons or Duct Tape. And my email, if you choose to do that, is Marsha, M-A-R-S-H-A, at MarshaPetrieSue.com. And by the way, Daphne, I did marry a boy named Sue.
Oh, and he even took you camping, too.
Yes, right. Remember
oh,
that.
Oh, Marsha, I love you.
I remember the first time my husband, and this gets back to something else that I think is really important for reacting or responding. The first time he asked me to go camping, I asked him, because I'm from Los Angeles. We didn't camp, you know. And I asked him, I said, is this going to involve dirt? You know, I'd never done this. So, and here's one of the things I think we all have to do is in our communication, take personal responsibility for ground rules. So, for an example, Al and I have a ground rule is to stay open to each other's passions, which means I do the outdoors now, and he now does the symphony and the theater with me. I honestly, Daphne, I don't think he had ever been to a concert that didn't involve a banjo. And so we've really learned how to be flexible to each other's passions. And here's another ground rule. Another ground rule that I think everyone should set with people that are in their lives. We call it the timeout. So if someone starts to talk to about something that is really starting to push your buttons and tick you off and you can feel yourself losing it, all you have to do is form a T with your hands, like a referee does, a timeout with your hands. Part of that ground rule is that you, the person calling the timeout, will come back within a 24-hour period and resolve that issue. It's not up to the other person to bring it back. It is up to us to call the timeout, calm ourselves down, think about how we want to position ourselves, and communicate from a very mature point of view.
Wow, this is good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. Marsha, we only have 7 minutes. And, now we're down to six. I'm giving you 3 minutes. I'm going to give you 4 minutes, which is going to be a challenge. But take 4 minutes to just do your closing thoughts, please. Summarize your closing thoughts.
Thank you. I want people to think about how they think, because you do become what you think about. And what my father told me is your only helping hands you will ever find are attached to the end of your arms, so use them, because no one is coming to rescue you. You must take personal responsibility for every single thing in your life. You must eliminate the entitlement attitude that is permeating many people and many workplaces today. These are tools that we can use. My latest book, The Reactor Factor, gives you those tools and helps you succeed. Please go on to the website. Read about the book, www.reactorfactorbook.com. Watch the trailer. see what you can do, and know that you are 100% in control of your life and of yourself. I even talk about if you are in a financial mess, what do you do? And here's my number one recommendation for that. Cut up your credit cards. Oh, I know it's hard. I know you can't. Do it, because you have to take personal responsibility for the outcomes in your life. And it is all developed from the frames of reference in our life, who we have become, who we are today. Think about, who do you take to work every day? What is the relationship that you have? And how are you becoming a better partner every day? Whether an employee or a leader, taking control is what we all have to do. I have 52 lessons in the book. I will have for you a download for your iPhone for the Reactor Factor. It will be free. I have a free download right now, an iPhone app. Go into iTunes and just type in Toxic People. Download that free application. Within a couple weeks, we'll have the same exact thing available for you on iTunes for the Reactor Factor. Take control. Take personal responsibility, because if it's meant to be, it's up to me.
That's right.
Is what we really have to do, Daphne. And I want to thank you so much for including me on this program. It truly is my honor and my pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Marsha. You have been a blessing, not only to myself, but also to my listeners. And I pray that they now realize why I really love you so much. I love and respect you, and I'm honored to call you friend and colleague. And I'm sure we will be chatting soon, Marsha. Keep doing God's work and keep impacting lives. I love you, my sister.
And I do you, Daphne. Thank you so very much.
You are very welcome. Oh, well, I am so excited about both episodes today, because I'm going to take a pat on my back. I delivered to you today, listeners. I thank you for joining. And I just want to inform you that coming up very soon, we are going to know Pepper Miller, who is the author of What's Black About It. I'm going to be having Dr. Ray Blanchard, The Answer, and we'll be having the founder and CEO of Sassy Box, Amanda Kennedy, coming up very, very soon. So I want you to keep watching our show. Keep looking at our blogs to see. Again, I want to congratulate my nephew, the mighty Jinsu, on the release of his new single. Check that out on my blog too, and send him an email. Let him know what you think about it. And check the new focus of my show and give me your feedback on it, because as Willie mentioned about testing, I am testing the different things we do here and to see where we go from here. Again, I want to remind you that you do not have to settle for mediocrity, because you have the ability to create excellence. This is the Queen of the Empowered Soul saying, how grateful I am to have spent this morning with you. Share the episodes with your friends, neighbors, and family members, because they need to hear this. Thanks to Willie and Marsha for coming. I know that you do not have to settle for mediocrity, because you have a destiny to follow. Love you and stay blessed.
What's the plan? will call it destiny. Will you let me know what's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called to change nations and generations.